Christian singles, welcome back to another podcast of Single Plus. I'm your host, Daria White-Osa. If you have not subscribed, go ahead and do so. Make sure you follow and share on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can also follow on Instagram at MySinglePlus. If you are also looking for a Christian community, I am one of the leaders for the Christian Singles Hub. You can go to the ChristianSinglesHub.com, get all the info, plus join our Facebook group as well as our Hub platform. So thank you all so much. Let's get into today's episode. Hello, Christian singles. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Single Plus. I'm your host, Daria White-Osa. If you have not subscribed, go ahead and do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can also follow at My Single Plus on Instagram. Today's topic is inspired by a question that I saw in a singles group that I am in, and this actually came from a man. So for the ladies out there that wonder, are there still good Christian guys out there? I hope that this is encouraging to you, but the question stemmed from him being still a virgin. And if I remember correctly, I think he's almost 30 or he's just turned 30. But anyway, he is a virgin and he has chosen to remain that way until he gets married. And so the question stemmed from, you know, how does that work in the context of dating, especially in a world where sex sells and everybody is, honestly, you really can't look anywhere without something being sexually charged. So we see it in TV shows, we see it in books, we see it in movies. Unless something you know is just wholesome, or if it's just a Christian film or a Christian book, 9 times out of 10, there's some type of sexual thing tied to it. So his question was, you know, how, I think what he was coming from was in a world where pretty much, if not, and again, there are so many people who are choosing to wait until marriage. Some may have had sex before, but they're now choosing to abstain until they get married. And then there are still people like him who are still virgins. But I think his question came from the standpoint of, you know, how does that work with experience? Like when you do get married, you know, feeling the pressure of like, okay, am I going to satisfy my spouse? How is the sex going to be between us? And I have to say that that is something that crossed my mind quite a few times, because I decided to wait until I got married as a virgin. So for me, that definitely did cross my mind. But I have to tell you that first and foremost is that God loves you. So if you've had sex before outside of marriage, just know that you can repent, ask for forgiveness today, and you can start with a clean slate today. Two, if you are a virgin, male or female listening, I want you to know that God does. The fact that you are choosing to honor God with your body, God takes notice of that. He does. So just know that you are truly honoring God with your body. That is one way to do it. There are plenty of ways to honor God with our body, but we know that when it comes to remaining sexually pure, if you are unmarried, God wants us to wait. So I think we kind of need to backtrack before we get into the talk about experience and will I please my spouse. First and foremost, the revelation that came to me prior to getting married was God wants glory out of my sex life. Because some may ask, well, why does God want us to wait? You know, does it seem fair? Don't you need to be, you know, sexually compatible with someone before you get married? Shouldn't you know, how the sex is going to be? And the comparison that I always think of is a talk that I heard by this husband and wife who was actually answering a similar question from a woman who was contemplating, should she wait until marriage? And the guy, I guess, that she was talking to was basically saying that they needed to test it out, kind of like how you test drive a car. Well, I think we all know, for those of us that have bought cars before, that when you take that car off the lot, you know, especially if it's a brand new car, it immediately depreciates in value. So they answered her question like, so basically this guy is telling you that he wants to depreciate your value. Your value is going to go down once you allow him to sleep with you. So that gave her a light bulb moment, because she's like, wow, I never thought about it that way. But that's basically the consensus. And I agree. If someone is pressuring you to having sex, or if they're trying to manipulate you into having sex and you have a stance on, wait, I want to wait, not, you know, because, you know, I don't have desires, but because I truly want to honor God. But the revelation that I got, you know, is that God wants glory out of your sex life. Believe it or not, I mean, God wants glory in every area of our lives. Why would that exclude our sex life? So the only way for us to give God glory in the context of sex is to be married. Why? Because I'm sure you either know someone or maybe you've gone through this yourself, but we've seen the devastation that can happen for people that have sex outside of marriage. We do. Soul ties are developed. Maybe you and the person break up, but now you still feel emotionally connected to them. But then you see them later and they get married to someone else. And you're like, man, I can't get over my ex. You know, I thought this was going to work out. So sex naturally bonds you with a person. You know, we all know this to a certain extent, but just in case this is brand new, fresh content for you, sex naturally bonds you with the person. The same chemicals that are released when a woman breastfeeds her baby, oxytocin, I believe it's called, that's the bonding hormone. That's the exact same hormone that is released when you have sex. So it naturally bonds you with this person. And God forbid, should you two break up, what do you do then? And there was no covenant. There was nothing to say, okay, for better, for worse, for richer, or poorer, we're going to stay together. And unfortunately, some people have crossed that line. Now, again, this is not to bring condemnation. This is not to bring shame. This is just to shed light because the enemy has lied to us in this area. He has made us believe that we're missing out. I think that's what a lot of people face, especially if they are still virgins, thinking, I'm missing out. Everybody else is having sex. Everybody else is having fun. Why am I torturing myself? Why am I putting myself through this torment? I should just go ahead and do it, right? Well, I want to tell you that that urge that you may feel, yes, it's there. Yes, it's real, but it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. And do you really want to make a decision based on a permanent feeling? No, let me rephrase that. Do you want to make a temporary decision that can have permanent consequences? That's the way I want to say it. Because urges come and go, and those desires, those feelings are fleeting. Feelings are temporary. Feelings really are not reliable. And sometimes we buy into that, you know, feeling, and we decide to make a decision, not realizing the consequences that are on the other side of it, because you're not thinking, right? Sex really does cloud your judgment. That's why when you are dating and you are getting to know someone, you don't want to get physical too quickly, because they may not be the right person for you. There may be some toxicity there. They may not be the right person that God has for you for the long term. But if you get physical too quickly and you two have sex, that's going to cloud your judgment so much so. If you did not have sex with them, you would have been able to see the red flags a lot more clearer, as opposed to now your emotions are tied into it. So that's why people are in relationships for 5+ years, because for sex occurred and it took them that long to realize, wait a minute, this person is no good for me. Whereas that time probably could have been cut in half, maybe 6 months to a year at most, for you to realize, okay, this is not, you know, what God has for me. So I want us to know the heart behind this. I really believe that if we know God's heart behind sex, I think we'll have a better understanding. And one of my favorite teachings on this was a few years ago by Pastor Michael Todd. If you want to check it out, please do so. But it was his first series that he did on relationship goals, and he talked about sex. It was a two-part a sermon that he did within that series. And one was called, I believe, The Sex Container. And I think another one would be like, does sex have a hold on you? But you can definitely look up relationship goals. It'll be in that series. You'll see it. But he talks about sex and he really does take it back to scripture. Again, just sharing God's heart behind sex. Because God, it's not like God doesn't want you to enjoy it. But he gave the example of fire. When fire is in a fireplace, it's contained. It gives warmth to the household, especially during winter times when it's cold and freezing. But if that fire gets outside of that fireplace, it can burn down your house. It could bring devastation to your neighborhood. I mean, we've seen what fires can do just in the U.S. alone. You know, the California fires, or where fires break out in other parts of the U.S. and even in places all over the world. Fires are devastating when they are not contained, and that's what sex can do. But as we continue this question, if you're worried about, like, hey, I'm a virgin, I'm not sure, you know, if sex is going to be this, or am I going to be compatible with my spouse sexually? First and foremost, I want you to know that if you're with the person that God has for you, first and foremost, yes, God's hand is on your relationship. But two, you're going to be so in love with this person that you're not going to be thinking about, honestly, you're not going to be thinking about, you know, am I going to satisfy them? That may cross your mind a few times, but you're so in love with this person that all you want to do is just express that love. And then two, this is an opportunity for you and your spouse to learn together what you like and what you don't like. I love how Pastor Jerry Flowers puts it. Sex was meant to be a discovery. So for a lot of us that felt like I need to have experience, no, honestly, you don't. Because one, your body naturally knows what to do in the moment. And then two, when you are with your spouse, there's covenant there. There is safety there, emotional safety there. So all you have to do is just express how you feel. And then you two will be able to figure out, okay, I like this or I don't like this. And that's between you two. And the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. So as long as it's between you two and you both agree on it, it's nobody's business what you all two do in that bedroom. Plain and simple. So let's not put so much pressure on ourselves because, again, the enemy wants to lie to us and make us think that we, quote unquote, need experience. We need to know this and we need to know that. And I know that there are a lot of resources out there that do give biblical insight when it comes to sex. You can definitely do your due diligence, but always go back to the Bible. Okay. I'm not saying that there aren't good resources out there. I know there's some great podcasts out here. There's some great books out here that talks about this, but you want to go back to the Word of God first. Okay. Because you want to make sure that your foundation with him is solid. And I think a perfect book that exemplifies this is the book of Song of Solomon. Some translations say Song of Songs, but as you can clearly see in the Bible is not shy when it comes to talking about sex. It's become taboo in the church, unfortunately. A lot of Christians feel icky about it because they don't want to really share. And 9 times out of 10, not always, but typically when people come down for prayer, 9 times out of 10, it has something to do with sexual sin. Either they're battling lust, men and women, or they're battling something with their ex because a soul tie was developed. But usually, that's typically what people say, I need prayer for. So, again, you're just, hey, God made you. And let's remember, God created sex. He created sex, so it is a good thing. But when it's done in the context of marriage, in the context of marriage, that's when it can give God the most glory. And there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation. I think Pastor Jerry Flowers put it like this, and you can also check out his, he also did a series. It was part of his Cuffing Season series, Volume 3, a few years ago, too. I think a couple of years ago, or at least a year ago, one of those two. But it was called The Sex Trap Part 2. And he breaks down biblically God's intention for sex. He did a part one and a part two. And then he also did another one probably a year or two prior to that. He did the first, I think it was during the height of the pandemic because it was just him in the building preaching. But then the second one is with his wife and they're doing a Q&A answering people's questions when it came to sex and God's view on it. But again, God created this thing. He created this thing. And yes, it's meant to be enjoyed. It's meant to bring pleasure. It also leads to the procreation of children. So it is made by God. But when we do things outside of God's will, that's where we get ourselves in trouble. That's what leads to perversion. That's what leads to these bondages that we find ourselves in that God never intended for it to be. How did God intend for it to be? He meant for you to be with you and your spouse sexually for the rest of your lives. You weren't meant to have multiple sexual partners. You weren't meant to feel used by people who only want you for your body. You weren't meant for any of that. You were meant to be, for those of you that desire to be married, you were meant to be with your spouse, them alone, in the context of marriage, enjoying each other, plain and simple. Unfortunately, we've allowed the enemy to infiltrate this area and we've overcomplicated it. And now we find ourselves asking all these questions, and God's like, look, I created this thing. I want you to enjoy it. I just need you to do it my way because his way truly is the best way. Some may have a problem with that because they think their God is trying to constrain them or restrain them or put them in a box. But can you honestly say, I have yet to meet someone, especially if they say that they love Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about people in the world, but I have yet to meet someone that loves Jesus that if they did have sex out of marriage, I have yet to meet a person that says that they don't regret it. I have yet to meet someone that says that because 9 times out of 10, they do feel that regret. Like, I should have waited. I compromised. I allowed this person to get into my ear, or I allowed my own insecurities to, talk me into compromising and doing something that I did not want to do. So just know that God cares about this area. He does. He really, really does. And if you surrender this area to him, there's really nothing for you to worry about. Like I said, when you are with your spouse, and you know this is the person that God has for you, and you two have decided to wait, it will happen naturally. It will happen naturally. Now, for some, it may take a little time because I know, especially as the woman, you know, the body has to adjust, and it may take some time to, again, discover what works for the both of you, something you both can enjoy. But I guarantee you that if your spouse loves you for you, they're not going to pressure you. They're not going to make you feel bad. They are going to make sure that you feel so comfortable and so seen and so loved that it will be like anything you have never imagined. It'll be like anything you have never, ever imagined. And that's the way that God intended for it to be. That's the way that God intended for it to be. And if you have had sex before outside of marriage, don't feel like you're damaged goods to the point to where you can't be in a marriage like this where the sex honors God. Because if you thought it was good outside of marriage, you have no idea what it's like to have sex when the Lord's hand is blessing it. Some of us can't even fathom that. I really think that Pastor Jerry Flowers nailed it when he said, some of us can't even fathom covenant sex or kingdom sex. You can't fathom that because the world has made us think that it should be this way. You know, you don't even have to know the person. Hey, if you want to hook up, hey, you can find somebody tonight, hook up tonight, and you can leave as long as it's consensual. As long as that's, we hear that, right? As long as it's consensual, it's fine. But God has a higher standard. He's like, I want you to be in a covenant where you have pledged your life to this person. Why? Because marriage is meant to mirror the covenant that we have with God. Marriage is meant to be for life. When we choose to follow Jesus, we make a covenant to follow Jesus for life. And we ask Holy Spirit into our hearts. We want him to be with us for life. So your marriage is supposed to be an earthly representation of the relationship that you have with Jesus. That's why Satan wants to taint it. That's why Satan is after it so hard. He wants you to settle. He wants you to feel like I have to do something to quote unquote get experience because, you know, if I don't, then my spouse may not want me. Again, your spouse, the right person, they're going to love you for who you are. They're going to see Christ in you and they're going to wait with you. And that was honestly something that I wasn't sure about, especially getting older. It's like, God, you know, are there really men out here that are willing to wait? And my husband and I, prior to getting married, we made that decision. We made that decision and we didn't just make the decision. We set boundaries. We set boundaries to protect ourselves so that we wouldn't put ourselves in tempting situations. And we upheld those boundaries. And I can definitely see because of that, I see the blessing that God has on our marriage now because of how we chose to date with integrity and how we made sure that we stood by those standards that we made for ourselves. And what was interesting is that I had my standard way before I met my husband, and then he had his standards. So it was just a point of, okay, these are our standards. This is how we're going to do this in dating. So you want to meet someone that is already walking in purity. You shouldn't be with someone, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Some people only decide to go along with your boundaries because they think that eventually you'll let your guard down. And it can happen both ways. Some men think, well, if I tell her I'm waiting too, then maybe when she gets comfortable around me, maybe she'll change her mind. Women do the same thing. It's equal with both sexes. So you don't want to be with someone that's just wait, they decided to wait because they're trying to please you. They should decide to wait because they want to please God. They want to honor him with their body. They say, hey, this is my standard. And you say, okay, this is my standard. And then you can determine, is this something that we can do together where we hold each other accountable to where we're not going to put ourselves in tempting situations? But don't, seriously, if someone does not have a standard, but they're only doing it for you, that's not good enough. They have to have a standard to where they're saying, I want to honor God too. Even if it means if I'm with you or not, I'm living my life in a way that I'm going to honor God. So I hope that this is encouraging to you. And just remember, regardless of what the world is doing, even if other people are trying to get in your ear when it comes to this topic, like, hey, you should just settle. Nobody's waiting. You might as well just go ahead and have some fun, live it up. No, God has his standards for a reason. They're not meant to be rigid. They're not meant to keep you from having fun and enjoying life. They're meant to protect you. God's laws and his standards are like guardrails on the road. Without guardrails, if you turn on a certain street and it's a sharp curve, without that guardrail, you're going off the road. God does not want you to go off the road. God does not want you to be in a place of recovery season and Seriously, some of us have been in recovery season after recovery season. And again, this is not to bring shame and condemnation, but a lot of us can attest to the fact, had I listened to Holy Spirit, had I listened to those convictions, had I not given in, I wouldn't be dealing with the scars that I have now. Yes, God can heal. Yes, God can restore. You can start fresh today. But what could possibly be avoided if we chose to be obedient now? What consequences could be avoided if we chose to say, God, not my will, but yours? You may be asking, well, how can I do that? Because again, I'm in a human body. I have desires. I have fleshly desires. I encourage you first and foremost to admit that to God. Admit that in the moment. God, I'm feeling some type of way. God, I want to honor you. He may lead you to go for a run. He may lead you to do some sit-ups, some push-ups. You may need to go read a book. You may need to call a friend just to have a conversation and talk it through and help them and they keep you accountable. You may need to, get into the word. Get into praise and worship. Ask God to show you practically how can you honor him with your sexuality now. Why can't you ask him that? God is not embarrassed by it, okay? We've made this topic again taboo. We've made it to where it's kind of hush hush in the church. Some churches are talking about it, but most aren't. But 9 times out of 10, this is probably one of the top key areas people in the church are struggling with. Temptation, lust, sexual desires. We need to deal with it. We need to point people back to the word of God so that we can have authority in this area. Because again, God wants you to enjoy your sex life, but he wants you to do it his way so that you have the best experience possible. And I'll end with this because I love how the late Dr. Miles Monroe said it. The reason why God wants us to wait when it comes to this area of sex, he wants to preserve your memories. A lot of people have, unfortunately, some bad memories when it comes to their sexual past, and it's filled with regret. It's filled with shame. So the reason why God asks us to wait, he wants to preserve your memories. He wants, when you think about it, he wants the memories to be only with your spouse and the times that you enjoyed one another and how y'all are happy together. It is possible. It is possible. God's way when it comes to sex is the best way. So if you are waiting, don't give up. Don't settle. Don't throw in the towel. Don't think it's a waste of time. Don't worry about, experience and whatnot. Trust God in this area. Surrender this to him. Ask him practically, Lord, what can I do to honor you with my body until the time comes for me to be married? He will give you practical things to do, even if it means you need to go take a jog around the neighborhood, okay, to just to get past the moment. Sometimes you just need to get past the moment. Also, be mindful of what you're listening to. If you're listening to sexually explicit music, ask yourself, what's feeding you? It's not about being legalistic to where I can't listen to this, I can't listen to that. But you need to be mindful. What am I listening to? What am I watching? What am I reading? What conversations am I having? Don't put yourself to be in a position to be vulnerable. Okay? You want to guard yourself. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts. And you can absolutely do that through the empowerment of Holy Spirit. He gave us a spirit of self-control for a reason. So ask him to help you to walk into it. So Father, I thank you for those who are listening right now. Father, we know that you've given us the gift of sex. And Father, unfortunately, some people have abused it and they think that, hey, this is my body. I can do whatever I want. If I'm feeling a certain type of way, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter who I do it with. And unfortunately, Father, people have been scarred in this area when it comes to being used sexually. Some have been sexually abused. Father, I pray for healing for those that have been sexually abused. Maybe, Father, they weren't trying to do anything, but their innocence was taken away. Something was forced on them, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus for healing right now. I pray for healing from that trauma in the name of Jesus. But, Father, I pray for those, Father, that are maybe contemplating compromising in this area. Father, I pray that they would not do it. Yes, you can forgive. Yes, you can restore. But, Father, there's so much blessings that comes when we're obedient to you and to your word. Is it easy? No. But you've given us Holy Spirit. You've given us the spirit of self-control. Father, show them how they can practically honor you with their bodies and honor you with their sexuality until the time comes for them to be married. And Father, when the time does come, I pray that they won't worry about if they have experience. They won't worry about, will they please their spouse, Father? They will be in a kingdom marriage, Father, so filled with love. that all they'll want to do is just express that love to their spouse. And in turn, with time, they'll discover one another. They'll discover how to please one another. It was meant to be a discovery, God. It wasn't meant to be an exhibit. It wasn't meant, Father, to where one spouse feels used over the other. If anything, Father, sex is another form of service where one spouse is focusing on how they can love on their spouse and vice versa. So both needs do get met when each spouse is focusing on the other. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that we take back this area, Father. We would allow your spirit to lead us in this area. But, Father, I pray we would take back our authority over this area of sex, that we won't allow the culture to determine what we do with our bodies. We won't allow the enemy, Father, to lie to us, that we would go back to your word and see what your principles are. What are your standards, God? And may we uphold them, Father. And may we live out this in such a way, Father, that the world will notice that we are different. That we are different, Father, because at the end of the day, Lord, sexual urges, those feelings are temporary. We don't want to make a decision, Father, that will leave permanent consequences because of a temporary feeling. So, Father, I pray that you would empower your people today. I bind the spirit of lust, Father, that has infiltrated the church, Father. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I curse it in the name of Jesus. May we not lust after anything, Father, that is not of you. But, Father, I pray that you would take that desire and transform it to where we desire more of you, more of your presence, more of your word. Nothing wrong with desires, Father, but if we're looking on someone to lust to the standpoint of we only care about our needs and us being satisfied, Father, that's not the way that you wanted it to be. Again, it was meant to be service, Lord God, where we are putting our spouse ahead of ourselves. And again, both needs get met when it's coming from an act of service. So Father, I pray over this area. And Lord, I pray that the church globally, some churches, Father, are getting better at discussing this because they know that this is a crucial topic. But Father, I know some churches, it's taboo. It's not discussed. It's kept hush hush. But Father, I pray, Lord, that we as your people, that we would stand up and speak the truth of what your word says when it comes to sex. I thank you, God, that we as believers have victory over this area when it comes to sex, Father. There's nothing wrong with sex. You created it. It was meant to be beautiful, Lord God. But Father, we've allowed the enemy to pervert it. We've allowed culture and the world to dictate what sex is and what it should be. But Father, we are going back to what your word says. We are going back to kingdom principles in the name of Jesus, especially in these last days. And Father, I pray that your sons and daughters who are choosing to wait, whether they're virgins or they've had sex before, Lord God, I thank you, God, they're making the decision today to recommit their bodies to you. They are surrendering their bodies to be living holy and acceptable unto you, Lord God. And Father, when it gets tempting, Father, then I pray, Lord God, that they will remember that commitment to you, Lord God, because again, Father, you created it to be enjoyed in the context of marriage, Father, and just the way husbands and wives are intimate together, Father, that's how close and how intimate you want to be with us. Sex was not meant to be perverted, Father. It was meant to be a mirror of the intimacy that you want with us, Father. As a husband and wife are flesh to flesh, that's how you want to be with us, spirit to spirit. So, Father, may we see sex as a holy act, not a perverse act, not about ourselves and what we want, Lord God. So, Father, I pray we would surrender this area to you. Break what needs to be broken off your people. Break off shame. Break off condemnation. Break off anything, Father, that's not like you. I bind the spirit, Father, of addiction when it comes to pornography, whether men are facing it or the women, Lord God. Both sexes deal with it, but I bind that spirit, Lord God, to where people are looked at as objects. Father, you made us in your image, not objects, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you will remove that taste from them, that you remove that desire from them, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would just wash their eyes, Lord God, of the images that they've seen that were not of you. And I pray, Lord God, for a new desire for your word, a new desire for your presence. I pray for a hunger, God, for your word, more than the things of this world, more than the things that we think that the world can give us, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that our appetites would shift. Yes, it's going to take steps, Lord God. They may have to be mindful of what they listen to. They may have to monitor what they watch and what they read, Father, the conversations that they have, Lord God. They may have to set some new boundaries for themselves. And even when they're dating and meeting new people, but Father, they can do it through the power of Holy Spirit. They are free from sexual sin in Jesus' name. They are free from lust in Jesus' name. They are free from any addictions, Father, that have latched onto them. Maybe it started in their childhood, Father, and it grew from there. We bind it and we curse it, and it is broken off of their lives in the name of Jesus. May they walk in that freedom. May they walk in that freedom. May they walk in that victory, because you broke every curse, Father, when Jesus hung on the cross. He shed his blood, Lord God, for every sin that would come up, Father, and sexual sin is no different. We are victorious in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. I thank you, Father, you are bringing kingdom relationships together so that they can be a picture of Jesus Christ and the church in the earth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much once again. Subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. You can also follow at My Single Plus on Instagram. If you're looking for godly community, I highly recommend the Christian Singles Hub. You can go to the christiansingleshub.com and you can check out the US tour to see what the next in-person event is at an area near you. You can check out the online events, join the hub platform, check out the blog. I write for the blog, and again, all the things that are related to Christian singleness. You definitely want to be a part of it so that you know that you are not alone. So thank you all once again for listening. I appreciate it. God bless. Have a good one. Bye.